The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Let's turn our attention to the government's decision to move to level five, but to allow elite sport to continue. I'm delighted to say Professor Mary Horgan is with us this morning to talk to us a little bit about what this actually means. I don't think it was that much of a surprise that they made a derogation for elite sport, but what is going to happen now is that a lot of pressure is going to come on the various sports organisations to decide whether or not they want to use that derogation. Can you maybe just talk to us to get the science behind this, Professor Horgan? How safe is it to continue elite sport while the rest of the country is at level five?
Well, the sporting organisations, the IRFU, the GAA and other sporting organisations have put in robust structures to protect the health of the players, the backroom staff, so that the country can get on and continue to watch sports. A huge amount of effort has been put in by the by rugby, by GAA since the last lockdown to get protocols in place. And thankfully, there was the opportunity over the summer for inter-county games, club games, in all aspects of sports to happen. And more importantly, that our children were able to get back to cool camps. So the structures have been put in place. Certainly my involvement with the GAA has been, I've been really impressed with the efforts the COVID advisory group have put in and the efforts of all the organisation to put the structures in so that they can be as robust as possible. I think it's really important for, I suppose, the health and well-being, not only of players, but of the country, that we can sit and watch our sports, no matter what age you are. It's something we always look forward to.
Is it safe for those players to play those sports?
Look, there's never zero risk in anything in life, but the risk is very low. The structures that have been put in place have been absolutely always in line with public health guidelines. And it was great that NPHET and the government supported it, gave a derogation to elite sports, including inter-county games. Is it safe? Outdoors sports is always safer than any indoor activity. The risk is low. Young, healthy people tend not to get hospitalized from this infection, tend in general not to get sick from it. So, I mean, you have to put all those things on the table when these decisions are made. And that was the decision of NPHET, that in general, the risk was low.
Okay. I don't know if you saw the Louth captain was on LMFM after the game at the weekend, concerned about the lack of rapid testing being carried out. Would rapid testing help in any way to alleviate any concerns that teams might have about playing these games?
Well, testing strategy has been put in place. There is no benefit in doing rapid testing across inter-county players. That's a screening test. It's fraught with difficulties. There can be false positives, there can be false negatives, and it's a point in time. The position of rapid testing would be to investigate if there was a player or backroom staff that was positive, and rapid testing needs to be done in support of the public health investigation that might take place. But other than that, there is no position for rapid routine testing as a screening tool at this point in time. And again, that's in line with public health guidelines.
I think it's just worth teasing that out because, a lot of people are seeing bits and pieces of stories and they're seeing that some of the elite sports in America are doing rapid testing and everybody gets a test, they get another test the next day, and they get another test today, and they're like, oh, it's okay, grand. But actually, unless there has been a positive within the group, it's kind of pointless. Is that my unscientific way of summing
yes.
it up?
That really does sum it up. I mean, just routinely screening without any symptoms is not currently something that we would recommend at all. It really is based on if there's a case or there's a cluster, that the rapid testing would kick in at that time. And this is the PCR testing. The other testing, the antigen testing, is not available in this country yet, but is undergoing validation. So, you know, when you do screening, and it's the same as any screening, whether it's screening for cancer, diabetes, or anything like that, you can pick up false positives, there can be false negatives. And the best thing to do is align with what the public health guidelines are. If you start going outside of that, it is fraught with issues that, you know, you've deviated from what the national protocols are. You run into problems. All of a sudden, you have a false positive test. You test the next day and it's gone. You know, it may not be there. And it is only a point in time when we do testing like that for screening.
Is there a more accurate testing regime that can be implemented, even if it takes a bit longer for the GEA players this winter?
The best testing still is done on either you've got symptoms or that you're a contact as deemed by public health. So the most accurate test at the moment is the PCR test, and that's the test that, you know, would be routinely available in the event of a player or a backroom staff being positive. And again, we would be totally, any sports organisation would be totally in line with the public health guidelines within the country.
So it is until the antigen test comes into Ireland that you will then be able to ramp this up to another level?
Yeah, essentially the antigen test looks for different things. It looks for bits of protein of the virus. And again, it's not as sensitive as the PCR testing, but it has a place. It is more rapid, but it wouldn't pick up as many positives as you would. So while it's got a place at the moment, it's not clear what that place is.
Okay, Professor Hogan, you work in Cork University Hospital, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you're an expert in infectious diseases. So you've witnessed firsthand exactly the ebb and flow of the disease and the impact that it's had on ICU. I think that's just important for anybody, kind of, because, you know, a lot of the experts that we're turning to, they become interchangeable. I don't mean that in a bad way, but people are wondering, okay, so who's Professor Horgan again? Okay, so Cork University Hospital and professor in infectious diseases, who also happens to be part of the COVID-19 Advisory Committee for the GAA. So if you're coming out and saying that you think actually the right thing to do is for these games to go ahead, it carries a bit more weight than ex-players. It carries a bit more weight than people who are making stuff up on the basis of stuff that they've gleaned from the internet. So what's it actually like at the front line in the hospitals at the moment? And as somebody who does see that day to day, are you happy that the derogation would be used?
Yes, I am happy that the derogation would be used, because Public Health or NPHET wouldn't do that without due consideration of all the aspects. It's important to remember that those most at risk for ending up in hospital are in vulnerable groups, which include older people, people with diabetes, people who are obese. That's the profile of the patient that ends up in hospital. So we, you know, when you know, certainly in March, April, May, that's the patient that we saw. The important thing to remember is we know a huge much more knowledge on the disease now than we did way back then. We know that when people come into hospital and if they require hospitalization, usually they get put on steroids, and that has made a huge effect on their more rapid recovery. And I think it's important to remember that we are not in the place we were, certainly from a knowledge point of view, about this infection which causes the disease COVID, compared to where we were 6 to 8 months ago. And it is very unusual to see a young, healthy person in hospital with this infection. And that's what we want to keep seeing. I think the restrictions that have been brought in are not, I mean, case numbers aren't a great indicator, because case numbers of positive tests depends on how many tests you do. What's more important is the hospitalizations, because that indicates severity of disease. But again, I have to reiterate, those that are coming into hospital, for the vast majority of them, are in risk groups, as we have seen before.
It feels a little bit to the country like we're pushing a rock up a hill, and like Sisyphus, the rock keeps falling down. We seem to be locked in a recurring phase where it's restrictions, lockdown, get the disease under control, disease grows, restrictions, lockdown. The circuit breaker seems like a point in time as opposed to a long-term strategy. Is that fair?
Yeah, I suppose it seems as if we're back where we were in March and April. I think it's really important that the full impact of the pandemic outside COVID is brought into the equation, i.e. the effect of on the mental health of people, but also the physical health, because you have to remember that COVID-19 is only a component of our large service. So we need to be mindful of the cancer treatments, treatment of diabetes, screening programs for cancers, scheduled surgery, they all need to take place too. So when we get back to this phase of level 5 restriction, I think it's important that a few things are done, that we have a means of monitoring how we bring in restrictions and whether they should be all the same throughout the country. The impact assessment it has on all other aspects of health. I'm not going to speak on the economy. I'm not an economist, I'm a doctor. But obviously a healthy economy equals a healthy population. And also ensuring that our test and tracing system is really, really robust. And we have 6 weeks to make sure that that happens, so that when we see the numbers coming up and going up again, because they will go up, that's the nature of this particular infection, we can act really quickly, but probably with less restriction, and perhaps a bit nuanced and more geographically focused.
Just one final point, Professor Horgan, then, to go back to what the Louth captain said over the course of the weekend. You've addressed the rapid testing aspect of what he said, but he also made the point that if somebody tested positive in one of these squads, say after a game, you will have lads who are after playing a match, and this is a quote here, in Parkley Queeve, and then gone back to their homes and back all over Cork and all over Louth. He repeats, and the lack of testing, the zero testing, I just can't understand it. How big a factor is that, the idea that players can be going back into the community and having the disease unbeknownst to themselves? Or do you think that the risk is so mitigated by the fact that they're outdoors and that they're actually not that in close proximity to one another for long enough, that his concerns there probably can be addressed quite easily by a public pronouncement from NPHET or the GEA?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this happens in every walk of life, whether you're playing a sport or at work. I'm a healthcare worker, so, you know, I have that risk every day when I go into work. But the protocols that have been put in place help public health to understand what the activity was like. And huge effort has been put on, not only on the field of play, but the use of dressing rooms, sanitizing equipment and so on, to mitigate against those issues. And at the end of the day, it's up to public health to investigate any case that might be there and institute any outbreak investigation. But to date, the number of outbreaks associated with on-field play, I'd say, are so, so few, if any, and the protocols for inter-county are very stringent. And I suppose there's an onus on the players, like every person in the country. This is about human behavior. It's about looking after ourselves and ensuring that we follow all the public health guidelines to avoid that situation.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.